35. A touch, a word. Moro waved his arms, then put his nine fingers together in a gesture that he hoped looked like a temple. It was where he needed to go. If only Octavia and Mr. Socrates could see him now. Then, with a pang of panic, he wondered whether they were alive. Had he succeeded in preventing the Prometheus from capturing them? If so, they might have darted back to the coast. But would they leave him here? Or, more important, would they leave the temple in the hands of Miss Hakandottir? He doubted that. He would have to find them. While they couldn't have landed too far away, the most logical place to find them would be the temple. Even if the worst happened and they were all dead, Modo could still complete his assignment and exact his revenge. These men standing before him would surely have seen the temple at some point. Perhaps they'd even explored it. He pointed in the direction he believed was northwest, and performed the temple gesture again, saying, "Egyptian temple! Egyptian temple!" They wouldn't even know what Egyptians were. It was useless. He dropped his arms. His missing finger throbbed, an odd and painful sensation. Every once in a while it dripped blood. He felt a tug on his sleeve. Then Nulu grabbed his good hand. This caused a hiss of surprise from the surrounding warriors, who, Modo guessed, expected her to vanish or explode. She pulled gently, and led Modo through the group and beyond. The warriors began following several steps behind. She found a clear path through the foliage. "Are you taking me to the temple?" Modo asked, as he ducked under a vine. Nulu nodded, and they walked silently for several minutes. To his surprise, he saw that her white hair was not dyed that way, but had clearly grown out white, as if at birth she'd seen something frightful. She walked with a confidence he wished he possessed, as though she saw strangers such as him every day. There was movement in the brush ahead, and Modo was tempted to grab his knife, but three young girls and two boys stepped out of the forest and joined the girl and Modo, falling in line behind them as if on parade. "Perhaps I have a concussion. Is this all a dream?" He continued walking with her warm hand in his. No one had ever held his hand this long before, other than Mrs. Finchley when he was a child. He glanced back. The warriors looked braver now, staunchly carrying their spears, yet none would meet his eyes. Everyone was silent, though occasionally Nulu would whistle an odd tune between her teeth. Nulu led him up an incline, which involved circling around the trunks of large palm trees. There, quite suddenly, was the tribe's village, a small clearing marked with several worn pathways and 10 round huts built of banana and palm leaves, each big enough to house a few people. The children behind let out a cry and took off through the bushes so quickly that Modo thought it was in fear. He looked over his shoulder. The warriors averted their eyes. No lurking danger that he could see. Then it dawned on him. The children had decided to become the heralds of his arrival. They raced to the center of the village and called out, so that by the time the group entered the settlement, old men and women of all ages, pregnant mothers with distended bellies, and more children, came out to stand at the fire pit in the center of the village and gawk at him as he approached. A large, round-bellied man in an animal fur robe limped out of a hut. His beard was grey and his white hair stuck straight out all over his head. In one hand was a club, and around his neck hung a kind of wooden breastplate. One eye was grey with blindness, the other open in shock. Nulu led Modo directly to the elderly man.
"Ngaji," she said. "Jiriwara."
She offered up Modo's hand. The old man hesitantly took it. Modo found the man's hand warm, the fingers rough. The man was trembling visibly, from age or fear, Modo couldn't tell. He was a leader, Modo guessed, a shaman or a chief or something. He wondered if there had been anything written about this tribe. The old man was staring at him with that one eye. There was something familiar about his face. Then it came to him. This man was Nulu's grandfather.
"Modo,"
Nulu said, pointing at Modo. Then she pointed at the old man and spoke slowly.
"Run-Yuji."
Modo gave a slight bow.
"Hello, Run-Yuji. I'm pleased to meet you."
The man shuddered again, as though each new revelation was almost too much for him.
His hand, though, gripped Modo's tightly. Everyone, even the warriors, was now staring openly at Modo. He'd never had so many eyes on him at once. They didn't seem frightened. In fact, he would have sworn that they actually wanted to look at him. Without any warning, Modo began to weep.